Welcome to the Kingdom Life San Antonio podcast. For more information about Kingdom Life San Antonio, check out kingdomlifesa.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. Here's today's message.
How are you guys? There's a lot of you. I'm proud of you for getting out. Yeah, and I just want to say, I am proud of you guys. Like, just the stories that we've heard this week of, I know everybody's been out of power or water or something, or most people at some point or another, and then I'll hear, well, we ran over here and we showered, or we ran over here and we warmed up. And so I just want to say I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what I hear and that you guys are really just loving on each other like we're supposed to do. Joey kind of stole my sermon, but we'll be okay. No, you did good. So snow. My recommendation for snowstorms in Texas is marry Canadian. So if you're single and, So when it snowed, I looked outside, or maybe I was outside, and Chuck was, like, shoveling our paths. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody shovel a path when it snows in Texas, because it's gone in, like, 2 hours. You know, you don't really. And, like, we have the only shoveled path on the street. But there you go. And we did okay, actually. We live by a hospital, and so I think that's another recommendation. Live by a hospital because they leave your power on, maybe. I don't know. But what else was I going to say? Okay, the two things that helped me survive this week were kinetic sand. Anybody know what kinetic sand is? Okay, so I will be finding it until we sell our house, whenever that is, but it kept my little kids busy. And then I don't know how many of you guys saw Chuck, but so the girls would go outside for like hours because Chuck would play with them. And I didn't go out because every time I put London in, like, she had the best snow gear in our family, but she hated it because it was like a straitjacket. So I'd put her in it and she'd just cry and cry. So I stayed inside while Chuck just pelted snowballs at our five-year-olds, and he's kind of like Elf. Michelle pointed out in the video that I took, he was hiding behind his car and throwing snowballs at our five-year-olds. So anyway, but I was happy because I got like a two-hour break, you know? Amen, all the moms. Okay, well, I know we're joking about this, but I don't know if anybody is going to be vulnerable enough to stand for this, and if not, you can get prayer at the end. But I actually do just want to pray for anybody who had like a really traumatic experience last week and wants prayer for that. So I know that's vulnerable, but if that's you and you want to stand up, I just want to pray and break off trauma. So is there anybody in here who wants that? Yeah, I know it's been traumatic, like it's been hard. So if anybody else once prayer, and then we just want to cover you and pray over you. You can raise your hand or stand up because we just want to see that broken off. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now. And, Lord, we just bless Janie right now, that your spirit, that the shalom of heaven would just descend upon her right now, that every ounce of trauma that she faced in this last week would be broken off. And we just declare over you that you are so much bigger than this, that you are so much greater than this, that you go from strength to strength in Jesus' name. And so we just release you from all the pressure, from all the trauma that you faced last week. And we bless you right now with just the spirit of peace coming down from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody else is feeling that or wanting that, please, when we have ministry team come up at the end, please, please come forward and get prayer, because we want to just stand around you as brothers and sisters and break that off of you, okay? Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about finding favor. And I've just been thinking about this for a while. Is my PowerPoint going to work for y'all? Okay. Before we jump into talking about favor, very foundational on what I want to talk about tonight is this. No matter what you've been told about favor, you're already chosen. Like it says in Ephesians that he chose you before the creation of the world. So favor is not an indication of your value. You have value apart from this thing called favor. Does that make sense? Like Jesus saw you when you were dead in your sins, before you could perform your way to anything. And he said, I choose you and I want you and you're valuable. So every single person in this room, if you're married and you're in a rough marriage, if you're single, if you're adopted, no matter what, you have been chosen. It's settled. So I want to start, Mama Bear comes out, that's the plane that we start on, that you're chosen. Okay? That's so essential to talking about favor. So I will say this. I feel like two of the biggest weapons that the enemy is using right now at the church are insecurity and anxiety. And I think what he's trying to do is to keep us from operating in favor and bringing our favor to the world around us. So first of all, let's start with the Hebrew definition for grace and for favor. And I love just the definition of grace, that it's unmerited favor. But I loved this. It says to bend down or to bend or to stoop in kindness to another as a superior to an inferior. So favor, this is my definition of favor. Favor is a greater awareness of his sufficiency than our own deficiencies. Because it says a superior to an inferior. It's being more aware of his goodness than of everything I lack. And I bet you, all of us, I mean right there at the front of our minds, if you asked us what our greatest weaknesses are, most of us could tell you, boom, 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 boom. And if we couldn't, you can ask our spouse. You know what, though? We know. Like, we dwell and we meditate on our weaknesses and our deficiencies when we're not designed to do that. We're designed to meditate on his sufficiency. The Greek word is cherished, which refers to goodwill, loving kindness, favor, in particular to God's merciful grace. What stands out to me is that favor is about his merciful grace. Again, it's because of his merciful grace, not because of our efforts. In Galatians 1:10, it says, am I now trying to win the favor and approval of men or of God, or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to be popular with men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So I'm going to propose to you that we can't live in his favor and also live in the fear of man. We can't live. It's like, it's double-mindedness. And just being real and being vulnerable, when I'm bringing this message, I felt last night, I woke up at 1:30 and I felt the enemy coming in. I see subtle thoughts of like, well, when you said that, or when you, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, no, this is the enemy trying to bring insecurity in. Like, and you know it. Like, you know when that comes in, because it's like, this isn't right. It just feels gross. You know what I mean? And so with anxiety and insecurity, you're like, all of a sudden you're like, ooh, what is going on here? And so I just, in my mind, I was like, no, like, I operate in favor. Like, I am favored, and I had to, like, walk myself through my message just to be vulnerable. Like, not saying, like, oh, I've, like, mastered this, but just saying this is something that I am, like, meditating on and working on and just learning how to step back into my true place of favor. Because we can't serve Christ and strive for people's approval. I just think it's really easy for this, like, to slip in. And my dad was in town a couple weeks ago, and, like, I really can't imagine, like, a better dad. Like, I know some of you have good dads, but I have a really great dad. Like, he's the best. And we come back from something, and we're pulling into our garage, which is, like, I will say I can get my car in the garage. So there's some points for that. But if I don't measure it just right, it is very hard to get the children out. This is the status of my garage currently. And we had it on our agenda last weekend to clean out the garage, and then it was freezing. So it's still like that. And so we pulled in, and my dad jokingly says, "You need to clean your garage out, girl." Like that. I mean, he's joking. Guys, I had to like work through that. Like, I was mad at Chuck for not cleaning the garage. I deflected. I'm so healthy, guys. I really am healthy. But anyways, but again, like, even that's my dad and wanting his approval. And he was joking. Like, he doesn't care. And he knows I have three little kids and that I'm like, you know, whatever. He knows that I'm busy. But it's really easy for us to just slip into that, even whether it's even a spouse or a parent or a sibling. Like, it's so easy for it to look right, to slip into, "I'm living for the approval of man." And when we step into that, we step out of the position and the seat of the favor of God. Now, this is such good news. Okay, Psalm, you're good at this. Thank you. Let's just say thank you to our team up there. Okay, they're amazing. Thank you, Kara. Psalm 136:1. This is great news. "Let everyone thank God, for he is good and he is easy to please." Can you say easy to please? There are not many people on this planet that are easy to please. But God is easy to please. His tender love for us continues on forever. Listen, we don't have to earn his favor. If we're trying to earn it, we can't. Like, we don't earn his favor. He's easy to please. And I'm going to take you guys through this in a little bit. We're going to do an encounter time. But I did this exercise not long ago. And I have three small kids, and they're all home. We homeschool. And so the moments that I'm alone are few and far between. So for a small period of time, the YMCA allowed me some moments to myself, my own thoughts. So one day I was like, I'm going to do this exercise about stepping into God's presence. Guys, don't do it on a treadmill. So I'm like on the treadmill, and I am listening to this thing, and I'm like, I don't have kids. I'm like, people have been telling me I should listen to this. I'm going to listen to this, you know? And I'm on the treadmill, and all of a sudden I'm like, whoom. Because what happens to me when I step into his presence, when I visualize that, is I feel the tension in my back release. I feel this pressure that I have put on myself, that God's not putting on me. I feel that melt away when I come into his presence. And that is, when I step into his presence, that fear of man melts away. And I recognize in the light of his presence, oh, he's easy to please. He's already pleased with me. It doesn't matter if I lose it with my kids later on. Doesn't matter if I get in a fight with my husband. Like, he's still pleased with me. And in his pleasure is where I can get some breakthrough to live in the fruit of the Spirit. Not in a place of striving, but coming from a place of going. And then there's no shame in it. When I'm coming from a place of, I'm a child of God, he is pleased with me. If I do mess up and I hurt somebody's feelings or I make a mistake, I can say, God is still pleased with me. I am so sorry that I hurt you. Does anybody else need this? It's all right if I'm just preaching to myself. He's easy to please. You are enough for him. Psalm 18:19 says, "His love broke open the way, and he brought me into a beautiful, spacious, broad place." Sorry, I like a bunch of different versions, so when I'm quoting it, I'm like, anyway, "He rescued me because his delight is in me." The Amplified Version says, "Because he was pleased with me and delighted in me." I wrote this like on a chalkboard in our house right now because it's just, I don't want to leave. I want to meditate on the fact that he's delighted in me and he is pleased with me. And he has brought me into a broad and an open space. He is pleased with you. And some of us, like maybe all of us, like, we really need to stay there. We need to linger in his pleasure. He's pleased with me, even with my crazy garage. He's pleased with me. I don't have to clean my garage to get his pleasure. And so is my dad. But you guys know what I'm saying. It's just a good example. Okay, so Joey's laughing at me. Okay, in the Bible, listen to this. I got to read this one up there because my notes are so small. Okay, Noah. What happened with Noah in favor? What's the verb? He found favor with God. Joseph experienced favor because the Lord was with him. The children of Israel found favor with the Egyptians. Moses found favor. Ruth found favor. You guys get it. In the Bible, they found favor. So I don't know how many of you have come out of like charismatic Christianity, which I mean, we are. I'm not saying we're not that, but have come out of this idea that a prophet has to tell you you have favor in order for you to have favor. Can anyone connect to that? Like kind of waiting on somebody to tell you that you have favor with God. Have any of y'all ever experienced that? Like, I just want somebody to tell me I have favor. I want somebody to see that I have favor. Like, but that's not really how it operates. Like, we can find favor. Like, you're not waiting on someone to give you favor. You're not waiting on someone to tell you about favor. You are in the favor of God. And we're going to talk more about this in a minute. But the favor that they had, when you go through this list, it wasn't about an individual. The favor was about generations and generations and generations to come. So we want to walk in the favor of God, not because we're searching for significance. Because you're already significant. You're already chosen. We're not trying to find our significance. And I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we've been so desperate to feel significant that we've needed favor. And it's gross. Because that's not what favor's for. Like, favor is an extension into the kingdom of God. It's like, in the simplest form, it's like, I have water, come take a shower. I have this, because we're operating out of his sufficiency, not our deficiencies. So we're operating in massive amounts of abundance because it's the kingdom of heaven. So anything I have, it's yours, because there's so much more behind that. Are y'all with me? Justin is. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. So this is my justification for what I'm saying about finding favor, is that God is like looking around saying like, who can I support? Who can I give money to? Who can I give resources to? Like, God is looking at us saying, who? Who is it? Your heart is does your heart belong to me? Because I want to give you abundance. I want to give you endless things. Because when your heart belongs to me, you're not searching for significance. You're not searching for identity because your heart belongs to me. There's no limit to what I could do with you on the earth. God is looking for us to find favor in him. It's not your stamp of significant, your significance. You're already significant. Favor is about making a stamp on history. And it's about pointing people to Jesus. If your favor rests in your giftings, in your personality, it's not favor. If it rests in your appearances, in your bank account, and all of those things, it's not favor. Favor is supernatural, and it is coming from a different kingdom. It's coming from a different place. Does that make sense? Favor comes through a yielding, not a performing. Favor is found in rest and not in striving. Favor is found in intimacy and surrender. And favor is a position of the heart, not a measure of strength. I am like a pretty introverted person as I'm up here with the mic. I mean, I love people, don't get me wrong, and like you can talk to me and stuff, but I've been an introvert, Michelle left. I've been an introvert my whole life. So I'm the youngest of four kids, and my mom said, when she would put me in my bed for naps and stuff, instead of crying, I would laugh. Like, it's like in me. Like, that I like myself, and I like it when I'm by myself sometimes, you know? But sometimes, like, I can actually really resent that and, like, really struggle in that. Like, my family was in town, and there was, like, 14 people in my house for the whole weekend, and I loved it. But by the end of it, I was like, okay, you know, need to mop my floors. Can y'all go? No. And I've always been that way. And I can see that as, like, as a weakness, but the Lord is like, it's not. Like, he can operate, like, teaching me how to love myself and not be about trying to be strong and muscle through stuff, but, like, his favor still operates through me, and I still can minister powerfully. He's not limited by my quote-unquote weaknesses, is what I'm trying to say. Like, his favor operates in my life, even, and he even made me that way. Like, I think we live in a culture that kind of glorifies, in a lot of ways, being an extrovert, you know? I remember taking personality tests and trying to, like, lean into the personalities that I wanted. Anybody else do that? Finally, like, I was like, no, this is who I am, and I like me, and I'm okay with it. But, like, your weaknesses don't limit his ability to work through your life in your favor. And weaknesses are all somewhat relative, too, I think. But anyways, favor, the next thing I want to talk about is that favor, this is the whole point, is that favor is bigger than us. How many of you guys know Dan Moeller? So I was listening, did anybody go hear him in Canyon Lake? I hope not, because I'm not really going to be that great at this story. But it felt, I wanted to share it. Like, he was sharing this story, and you can go look on YouTube and hear the whole story, and it's, like, so long and crazy. But he was sharing this story about how he had his two kids with him, and he was in his pickup truck, and he was going through, like, an intersection, and somebody hit him, and it was, like, really bad, like, head-on collision. And he, this was the part grossed me out, but he could, like, stick his finger in a hole in his forehead. He kept talking about how, from the steering wheel, he didn't have a seatbelt on. And he kept talking about how it would fit in there like a Lego, and I was like, okay, please stop with that one. Okay, thank you. Whew. Anyway, so he's telling the story. So, but he gets hit, and he has his kids, and he gathers his kids up, and he never leaves, like, the peace of God. He never leaves the favor of God, and he's like, we're going to be okay. Jesus is with us. He's protecting us. So then the guy who hit him, who was, I think, intoxicated or something, comes up to his window, and he's kind of panicked. He's like, are you okay? And Dan's like, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You know? And I'm like, wow. Okay, so then his kids get taken off to a house, and he's talking to the police officer, and the police officer's, like, looking in his head, and it said he had a web of blood on his face. And he's like, sir, you need to be seen by the paramedic. And he's like, I need to get to my kids. He's like, this is really traumatic. He's like, such a father's heart. He's like, I need to get to my kids and make sure they're okay. So he goes into this house. Someone gives him, like, a cloth. He wipes off his blood off his face, and he's checking on his kids. Well, and here comes the paramedic. And they're like, the police officer sent me here. Like, I'm looking for the man who was in the accident. And he's talking to Dan. And he's like, sir, he's like, it was me. I just need to check on my kids. And he's like, well, he goes, oh, he goes, well, you just got a little cut right there. So then he goes back down to the police officer, and the police officer's like, what happened? He's like, I really think I saw your head like this. And Dan's like, no, like, it was, like, it's Jesus. And then he sees the guy that hit him with handcuffs over to the side, and he's like, I got to get over to him, because this could, like, mark him for the rest of his life. Like, he'll have this on his record. This will become a part of his identity. Like, you can't take him to jail. You can't do this. And he's like, goes over and, like, trying to get the guy set free, and he didn't have trauma on him. But, like, this is the point of living in favor, is that we're operating in the kingdom. And he was operating so much, like, he never left his place of, like, being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. He never left that, and so even the trauma from the incident didn't really hit him. And you know what? Like, we're living in a time where we need to live like that. There's a lot of trauma flying around. Right? because favor is about bringing light to a dark world. Okay, we're going to read a little bit about Mary in Luke 1, starting in verse 39. You guys doing okay? Okay. Afterward, Mary arose and hurried off to the hill country of Judea, to the village where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. Arriving at their home, Mary entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the moment she heard Mary's voice, the baby within Elizabeth's womb jumped and kicked, and suddenly Elizabeth was filled with overflowing in the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she prophesied with power, "Mary, you are a woman given the highest favor and privilege above all the others, for your child is destined to bring God's delight. How did I deserve such a remarkable honor to have the mother of my Lord come and visit me? The moment you came in the door and greeted me, my baby danced inside of me with ecstatic joy. Great favor is upon you, for you have believed every word the Lord spoke to you." Okay, let's just talk about this for a minute. Like, have you guys given it a lot of thought? Like, what favor looked like on Mary? Like, in her world, in her community, in her society, she looked like a disgrace. She was totally rejected, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Think about the dirty looks that Mary got. And she was like in God's favor. Like Elizabeth's like, "Wow, you have so much favor." And poor Mary, I mean, the girl is probably in tears going, "I do," you know, like, such an opportunity for shame for Mary to walk in. Like, in some of us maybe would be like, "God, why are you punishing me?" Right? Like, if we were in Mary's situation, it'd be easy to be like, "Oh my goodness, what an inconvenience. Like, had Joseph, we're going to get married, like, and look what's going on." Like, this is what favor can look like. I mean, we could go through the list of the people in the Bible. And I'm not trying to be discouraging about favor. My point is that favor is so much bigger than us. And that Mary, even her favor was an inconvenience. It was inconvenient. Sometimes our favor is inconvenient. Sometimes it doesn't come at the moments we want it to come. Sometimes it doesn't look the way we wanted it to look. Because favor is about generations and what God is doing in the earth. And it's about something so much bigger than us. Why did Mary have that favor? I think it's because she was yielded. Like, she was just this humble servant walking in simple trust. So the world needs our favor. And I think it's time to start asking, like, what does it look like for me to offer my favor? And for you to offer your favor to the world looks different than for me. And that's such a freeing thing, you know, especially, like, God's going to work within the context of who you are. And for me, even throughout this last week, it was just, like, listening to these, like, subtle nudges of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I think I need to text that person. I think maybe I should send that person money. And it was a joy and a pleasure. But, like, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, if even just this room of us, and I know, like, so much of it's already happening, like, start to operate in this rather than, like, so much of what the church is doing right now, like, it will change the world. So Chuck and Layton had a little experience yesterday, and I was going to let him share about it. You come up. I was going to share, but it's probably better if he does it since he was there.
I was there. Yeah. Man, God bless Layton Holt. Those that don't know, Layton is, he's up in doing our live stream with Jesse. But so I do a little bit of real estate on the side. And yesterday I went to look at a piece of land out by Lockhart. That I have under contract for a friend. So I said, "Layton, do you want to drive out with me to just walk this land and just have a look at it for my friend?" He's like, "Sure." I'm like, "And let's take your car because it's nicer than mine." He's like, "Cool." So Layton has this, like, really kind of pretty new, really beautiful Lexus SUV. and it's four-wheel drive. So we get to this property. It's 8 acres, kind of clear, dirt road. But because of all the melted snow, it was just really soft. And, like, it was really soft clay. And it was this, and Layton has this beautiful pearl white Lexus SUV. And I'm like, dude, are you sure? And he's like, I've been wanting to go off-roading. I'm like, all right. So we start going slowly over this clay. And then we just kind of get up just in here a little bit. And we start to sink into this clay. And, like, it wasn't long before we were almost, like, up to the frame. And we just started spinning and sinking. And so we get out, we're like, this isn't good at all. So we see it, and we're like, I'm like, can we push it? He's like, we're not gonna be able to push out of this. So just then the neighbor, this is 8 acres, but kind of narrow, and the guy on the property right next to us, just on the other side, sees us. And he, like, starts making his way over to us. And he comes over, and he doesn't speak any English at all. But he's trying to ask us what's going on, what do we need? And through, like, gestures, we say, we need pulled out. So in about 2 hours, just out of the goodness of his heart, he goes and he, like, gets all of these straps. And he has to find more straps because it's not long enough. And he brings his truck. Long story short, he ends up, like, tying these straps around Layton's car and around these trees and a winch. And he's just good at what he does. And he pulled us out. Like, after, like, 2 hours, and we're just, like, we're covered in mud. And Layton is just, God bless him. He's just so gracious, so calm. I'm like, bro, I'm so sorry. So, but this guy was so kind. And then at the end, I'm like, I'm trying to tell him. He's having trouble. I said, can I get your phone number? I want to send you some money. And he's like, no. And I'm like, no, I want to. So I get his phone number. And I go, what's your name? And he goes, Jesus. And I, like, how fitting. I'm like, literally, and, like, Psalm 42, verse 2 came to my mind. Like, he has pulled me out of the pit and rescued me from the miry clay. And, like, Jesus literally pulled us out of the clay. And then, we get out, and, like, Layton, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, how prophetic is this? You know, I got a picture of Layton with him. And then we finally go to walk the land, like, without the car. And we're walking down the tree line of the neighbor on the other side. And he's watching us, and, like, we're just checking out the land. And then he comes over, he introduces himself, and I'm like, hey, my name's Chuck. We're helping my friend get this land. And he's making me feel really good because I was there to kind of look at the land and make sure we were making a good decision for my friend during our option period. So I'm saying, do you think it's a good piece of land? He's like, yeah. He's like, I actually cleared this part for him. It's great. This is what I did with mine. I think it's great. I think it's a good buy. And I'm starting to feel, like, relaxed about our decision. And then at the end, I get his number for my friend who's going to buy it. And I go, what's your name, by the way? And he said, Manuel. So, and God with us. So I got to text my friend who's buying the land. I'm like, bro, you have some good neighbors. I said, on one side you have Jesus, and on the other side you have Manuel, so you're in good shape.
It's awesome. So when Chuck told me that story, I'm like, okay, that is, like, Jesus is, like, using his favor, like, 2 hours with somebody on a Saturday, like, to, like, help these total strangers get their truck out of the mud. And so that's favor. Like, favor is like, okay, what do I have? And how can I use that to show the world Jesus? Okay. So I jotted down a couple of things about if we're living in favor or the fear of man, just for us to have I think it just helps me. Is that coming okay? Or were you already on to something else? Okay. I can't see it on mine. So the next slide. Okay. So if we're living in the favor of God, it is unmerited. We don't earn it. If we start to feel like we're striving, like we're trying to make something happen, fear of man. Favor is based on believing he's good. Fear of man is, it depends on how well I do. Favor is a position of the heart. The fear of man, trying to get approval from men, is unachievable. Like, you never really get there. You might get approval from someone, and then because you're striving for something, you're going to want to get approval from the next person. Do you know what I mean? It's just exhausting. Favor with God, I believe it's always accessible. I think it's a position that we step into, and we're going to do that in a second. Fear of man, there's never enough. Favor of God is steadfast. The fear of man and people's approval is so unstable. The favor of God satisfies. The fear of man never satisfies. Favor of God is what we are designed to live in. Fear of man is pushing against God's design for us. Favor of God is like, what can I give? Giving mindset. Fear of man is, what can I get? You're feeling, what can I get? Okay, you need to step back into the favor of God. The favor of God lends strength. Like, hey, Jesus, let me get my truck. Let me get you out of the mud. The fear of man, it just drains people. Completely drains people. Drains everybody around you. Because it was never their role to do that, to hold you up in that way. And they can never speak significance over you because Christ already has, and it's operating in the belief of that. Okay? So we're going to do an encounter. So just a reminder as we step into this. Favor is choosing to focus on his sufficiency rather than our deficiencies. If you get one thing all night, that is it. So what we're going to do is we're just going to allow God to recalibrate us right now to our original design. So I'm going to play a song. It's the old Keith Green song. I don't know why. So this is interesting. It's, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." And it's funny how all through, I picked this 2 weeks ago when I thought I was going to speak last week. Like, it's funny how all through worship, that's what we were doing, is just saying, like, "Lord, You're beautiful." So I'll guide you some, but like, as this song starts, I just want you to imagine yourself seated with Jesus, like it says in Ephesians, in heavenly places, with Jesus at the right hand of the Father.
On Monday night this week, about midnight, I wrote a letter to the Lord. I didn't know where to mail it, so I put it in my Bible. And I asked him, "Lord, You got to do something about my heart. You know, a lot of time's gone by since I met You. And it's starting to harden up. You know, it's just kind of natural. I want to have baby skin, Lord. I want to have skin like a baby on my heart. It's starting to get old and wrinkled and calloused. It's not because of anything I'm doing. It's because of a lot of things I'm not doing." And I stayed up till about 2 in the morning writing this song.
Touch from You.
is dirt and the prayers from me too few. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that's fueled with holy fear. I wanna take your word and shine it all around, but first help me just live it, Lord. And if I'm doing good, please help me to never make a sound except to give all the glory to you. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your faith abounds to me.
You know, it says, you can turn it down a little bit. It says in Psalm 34 that those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. And what I'm trying to do, even with that exercise, is to bring us into this place where it's just a shift. Like we're not going into shame for mistakes we've made or shame for feeling fear of man, but all it's doing is imagining ourselves where we really are. Like we're seated with him in heavenly places. And I think the enemy wants to come in, and that's all he's been after since the garden. Is like removing us from the seat that we have, trying to remove us. And the only way it works is if we believe it. And so for me, I'm a visual person, I think, and that helps me to shift back into the place of I'm really his daughter, and he's so pleased with me. He just loves me. He's so delighted in me. And he sees all of me. He sees the things that I did really well, and he sees the moments when my heart wasn't in the right place, but he still delighted in me, and he still loves me. And so my challenge in all of that is that, you know, when we feel our heart shift and we feel that, like he said, like even Keith said, when you feel that little stray of your heart, like I said, I woke up in the night. You know that feeling when you're replaying conversations with people? It's like, that was fear of man. I wasn't operating in the favor of God. And sure, maybe I made mistakes or said things or whatever, but I needed to just shift back into my place as his daughter, shift out of that orphan mindset that I gotta be something for this person or I gotta do. Do you guys know what I mean? And that I'm not enough. But he's already said I'm enough. Even when I need alone time. Even when I want to run away. And it just takes about an hour. And Chuck's like, you come back a different person. I'm like, uh-huh. He's okay with that. He's okay with my weaknesses. Because it's his favor is about his sufficiency, not my deficiencies. So even as we go throughout this week, and as I want to like, us to be training ourselves in that way, that we tuck into him in those moments when we feel that shift, when we feel our heart stray, rather than going into shame and hiding like Adam and Eve did and all of that, which is, those are our patterns sometimes, and that's the way we've learned how to cope, and that's the way we've been disciplined sometimes, you know? I even can hear it when I'm with my own kids, like, why would you do that? And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Don't operate like that. You know, so we do it and we all operate in it, but it's okay because none of us are going to do it all perfect, but we can teach each other how to shift back into our seat in heaven. Is that helpful? All right. Y'all can turn the lights back up. I love you guys, and I'm just going to pray and bless you, and yeah, that'd be good. Okay. Jesus, I thank you so much for every single person here. And God, I just feel your love that's in the room. God, your tangible love for each person. And I just pray even as we walk out of this place tonight, God, we would feel just your arms wrap around us and that there would be a conviction in our spirits that you're pleased with us, that you delight in us, in all of our greatness and all of our weaknesses, that you are delighted in us as your children. No matter what we do or say or don't do or don't say, you have found delight in us. So, Lord, I bless each one of us tonight to operate in your favor and to extend your favor to this world in this season, in this time that you have placed us here on earth. Like, it's not an accident that we're here right now. Like, we joke about 2020, 2021. It's not an accident that you're here now. There's favor on your life that God has predestined before the creation of time that you would operate and bring his favor and get to bring a piece of who he is into the world right now. And the world really needs it right now. And so I just bless you in Jesus' name to go forth in favor, to shift out of fear of man, and to easily catch those things and shift back into your rightful place. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Can I get the ministry team to come up? If you need healing in your body, if you want prayer, just anything else, like I mentioned earlier, trauma or anything. If you have any needs, like, please come forward. Let us know. Let us pray for you.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website at kingdomlifesa.com for more podcasts, updates, and events, or find us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a blessed day.